It's always a joy to see a full church, or at least a close to full church, on Sunday morning. Yesterday afternoon, however, there's a slight bit of people that came for Mass, but then I realized by the way some people were dressed, there was an LSU game that was going on. It made me think back to once when an out-of-state priest asked, what were the major religious denominations in Louisiana? I said, well, the Baptist faith is probably the largest, covering about maybe two-thirds of the state. The Catholic faith, covering the other third of the state. But for everybody, it's probably LSU football. That's like the major religion of the state. I think more prayers are offered for the team than anything else. I think we're going to have a very interesting couple of weeks coming up. I'll tell you why. The president has just nominated a very faithful, devout, truly practicing Catholic and native of Louisiana to fill the seat of a recently deceased member of the Supreme Court of the United States. This deceased member was a non-practicing, a secular Jew from New York, and she's being replaced by a very practicing Catholic from Louisiana. And I'm sure this is going to cause a lot of consternation with a lot of people, and the president's nominee is going to be dealt with unmercifully over one issue, and one issue alone: the fact that she is a practicing Catholic. And as such, is one who believes and practices what the church teaches, including church teaching on the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death. It will not be the first time that she undergoes a grilling from lawmakers. When going through the customary hearings with lawmakers a couple years ago before being appointed and confirmed for another federal judgeship position, another senator from California negatively remarked, and this senator was also a non-practicing Jew, but said to the same nominee, quote, "The dogma lives loudly within you." Now, that was supposed to be an insult, but realistically, this is exactly what's supposed to be. The dogma lives loudly within you. That, my brothers and sisters, is how it should be for every one of us who considers ourselves to be Catholic. Our Catholic faith, every last bit of it, should most absolutely live loudly and clearly within each and every one of us. That's precisely what Jesus meant whenever he said, "I have come to cast a fire upon the earth," and how I yearn to see that fire blazing. It's the fire of faith that Jesus is talking about. So what does it mean? How can the dogma, and by dogma we mean the teaching of Christ, the teaching of the church he gave us, the truth of the gospel, how can this live loudly within each and every one of us? It means, as St. Paul tells us, that we must not live or act in a spirit of the world or a spirit of the times, but instead that you and I live, act, and think like Christ. Instead of being led by the spirit of the world, we are led by the spirit of Jesus himself, by the Holy Spirit. That we live with humility, with dignity, obedience to God, love for one another, and purity in heart, mind, and body. In a word, every Christian is meant to exude transparent holiness, to see and hear Jesus Christ living in us, the members of his body. It means, as St. Paul said, being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, and thinking one thing. If you ever wonder why it is that at Mass we all answer back the same way, we all sit, stand, kneel at the same time, we do things collectively, ritual is the exterior sign of our unity. It's a unity of faith, a unity of belief. So we all rise together after the homily and profess that one faith that the saints have professed throughout the past 2,000 years. And the same people of God throughout the world today are reciting that very same creed. That shows our unity in our belief. The same mind, the same love, united in heart, and thinking that one thing, united in the Catholic faith. Now sometimes, because we're born under original sin, we like to do our own thing. So living in one heart and one mind takes obedience. It takes obedience of heart and mind, as well as obedience of will, to the doctrines and the practices of our church, and rejecting all things not in accord with the Catholic faith. We don't do this out of arrogance, we do this out of love. We are to do nothing, as St. Paul says, out of selfishness or vainglory, but instead to regard others as more important than ourselves, each of us looking out not for our own personal interests, but we look out for the good of one another. That's the main tenet of our faith. Love of God, love of neighbor. Now all these things, faithfulness to God, faithfulness and love for one another, this is not easy, but if there is ever going to be a transformation of the world in the best way possible, it's got to start with us. This is precisely why the Lord Jesus has called all of us to be his disciples, why God the Father has called us in baptism, nourishes us with the sacraments and his Spirit, so that we can be, in his own words, a light to the nations. For that to happen, those beautiful words of Psalm 25 must become the fervent prayer of every believer who takes his or her faith seriously and wants to serve the Lord wholeheartedly and be the change that the world needs. As the psalm says, "Your ways, O Lord, your ways make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior." We are not God. We are not the Saviors, but God does work in us and through us if we allow him to. Our participation in the Spirit is our participation in the body of Christ, the Church. We are led to Christ our head by the Holy Spirit that he gives us. So my brothers and sisters, be people of prayer. Be people of prayer. Read and study the words of Jesus in the Holy Gospels. Read and study the teachings of our Holy Catholic faith. There are lots of good, solid materials out there. If you need a suggestion, I'm happy to offer one to you to help you grow in wisdom and knowledge. But above all and everything, seek Christ. Seek Jesus Christ. Turn away from sin. But even if you have turned from God, the Father, in sin in the past, and refused to do his bidding, he's still there. He's still there waiting for you to come back and have a change of heart and be obedient to him. That service to God, that surrender to his will, that brings life. That brings life. Disbelief and disobedience and choosing ourselves over him, that always brings death. And we see it happening all the time. And this is why there's going to be so much hatred being spewed toward this new Supreme Court nominee, because she is and has been faithful to the one who himself is the Supreme Judge. Sadly, many souls have rejected him. And I think even more sadly, many souls have no knowledge of him. But again, this is where we come in. This is why the dogma must live loudly within us. It is because we are Christians. We are Christians. And you and I must make known the wisdom and knowledge of God, as well as show compassion and mercy. We do this, brothers and sisters, by who we are. We do it by what we say, how we say it. We do it by how we think, what we do, how we vote, how we proclaim to the world that at the name of Jesus Christ, and only at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend, and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we obey his word. May we all remember the Lord's truth, remember his mercy, remember his love, and extend an invitation to that same truth by our mercy and our love to one another.